wasn't that good. Amen. I like it. Amen. I was talking to my pastor this week, and he's talking about he's on the end of his road as far as this life, and we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know what a day is going to bring. But I know one thing. I know that God's faithful. Amen. Now, there's going to be rest at the end of this thing one of these days, and I'm trusting the Lord. Just appreciate that good song this morning. Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to two places. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is our first stop. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, appreciate you being here. I've already been asked a couple of times, and I guess I'll say this about this, and people's asked me, I don't keep up with a lot of things as far as what's going on in the world, but when it comes to entertainment and that kind of stuff, but somebody asked me about this movie that's out. Is it called The Son of God, something like that? I can just say this, it's not the Bible. I'm not going to go see it. If you go see it, that's up to you. If you want to waste your money, that'd be fine. I'd rather give to mission something that'll go to do something with. But I can tell you it's not going to be biblically correct. I don't care who makes it or whatever it is. It won't be Bible because Hollywood ain't going to put Bible out there. And I've already talked to a person that did go see it that I put trust in what he tells me. And he said they had so many opportunities to give the gospel. And every time they came up to that place where the Lord would make a statement like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, they'd back off of it. And they don't care about knowing God, but they don't really want you to know about Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world. And so that's pretty much. But I can tell you this, as I've said, even back when the Passion or whatever that thing was that came out, all I know is this, that you can take it for whatever it is, and you have a choice in everything. You can use it for God's glory, or you can just chunk it, whatever. But I believe as people ask these questions, it gives us an opportunity to say, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus really did, and expound on what they might know. And I was telling Brother David this morning, all the things that are going. One of our major problems in America today, and I can't say anywhere else because I don't know anything else, but I know America a little bit. One of the major problems in America in the church today is we are, and don't take this offensively, please don't, it's just a wake-up call. People today are so motivated by watching something or hearing something than they are reading something. And today, most people today know very little about this book. You watch a movie like that and you think, well, I know more about Christ. And you don't even know nothing about Christ when you watch a movie like it. It's easier to sit there and play dumb for 2 hours, 2.5 hours watching a TV show, or to dive into the book and read and study and get some knowledge. And our country, we're hurting because people will watch that, and we're being overran. And a good example, what just took place in Arizona this week, it's politics. I'm not going to get into politics as far as, do this, do that. But, with, again, the homosexual, that train of the homosexual movement is so wide open right now. They've got such a force. They're not quiet. They're very loud. But the church is doing nothing. Why? Because most people in the church today don't know enough about their Bible to know what's right and what's wrong. And I don't say that again to make you mad. I say that, wake up. Hey, let's find out what God really says. And that's the reason we do what we do. That's the reason we study this book. It's the reason we try to teach this book. It's the reason we have Sunday school. It's the reason we have preaching. And we need to reach the lost, amen. But when people get saved, they need to be discipled. They need to be grown in the things of God and help them to grow. So that's my stake on that. So amen. Let's get into the message. 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. 2 Timothy. I'd rather read this book any day than go see a movie or watch TV. So let's look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's stand together as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here this morning, this is going to sort of play off a little bit of what we preached last Sunday morning, the fact that God's for me. And I don't know why God's just bringing a lot of these things to my light. I don't know if we're getting ready to go through a huge fight in my life. God always prepares his people. You never know what you're going to face, but God's really been putting some things in front of me to give me something that, for me personally, to share like I need to share with you, that we need to realize that there is strength in the Lord. And we're going to see more of that here this morning. Here we look at the Apostle Paul. And as I studied back through the book of 2 Timothy, as I looked at how Paul was writing to Timothy, again, through the inspiration of God, Paul had a desire to help this young man in the ministry and the work of the Lord. And there's such a love here that I see for Timothy from Paul. And we need that kind of relationship in our churches. We need to work one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. Shouldn't be against one another. I'll be together working for the Lord. But here we know that the Apostle Paul, probably in one of the roughest times of his life physically. He's gone through a lot. He's been left dead. He's in prison here. He's gone through so many different things. And he's a troubled, lonely man as far as physically. And he knows that his days are numbered. He knows he's getting ready to check out on this side and go into the glory of the Lord. And, but you know, I find some strength that he leaves here, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 9, or chapter 4, verse number 9, talking to Timothy here. Verse number 9 says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." This is verse 9. Verse 10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And that's a great, we ought to study that out a little bit. Here Mark, Don Mark, he had turned away from Paul. They decided he'd go back, and Paul basically wrote him off. He says he didn't do what he's supposed to do. He went back, but now Paul sees that he's profitable unto the ministry. And listen, sometimes people fall. Sometimes people get turned around, but listen, we need to realize that God's still able and God still can use vessels. So do remember that. Look at verse number 12 says, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." Verse number 13 says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment." Paul wanted them books. Paul wanted the word of God. Paul wanted those things that was precious to him. Verse 14 says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." Verse 15, "Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Verse 16, "And at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that I may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So let's pray, and we'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you again, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you again, God, for what we're just excited, Lord, about what we've seen here in these scriptures, God, and Lord, how you've brought these things back to our heart once again. And God, I don't know what's going on in people's lives this morning. God, I know this morning, God, that you're watching. God, I know this morning you can see the hearts and the intents of people's hearts, and Lord, what people are thinking, and God, what people are involved in. And God, I pray this morning, God, that you would move in this place. God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would dwell in the hearts of your people so strongly this morning, God. Lord, we need conviction in these days. God, we need a turning away from the ways of this world. We need a turning away, God, from the direction that this country is going in, God. And we need to get back, God, to these old landmarks. We need to walk these paths once again, Lord. And God, for the hope of our communities, for our families, our homes, God, for our country, Lord, help us today to see you high and lifted up. Lord, there might be somebody, Lord, I don't know who it is, but God, I'm just probably sure, God, somebody this morning, here this morning, God, if they was to die right now, God, that they're not ready to meet you, Lord. God, maybe they're a member of a church. Maybe they're doing good deeds. Maybe they're trying to live a life, God, that they think is righteous. But God, I pray this morning, God, that you'd help them to see. God, without you, God, there is no righteousness, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd move in our midst this morning. Help us, Lord, and we'll praise you for what you're going to do. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, we see here in 2 Timothy, Paul writing, closing out the pages of his life, coming to the end of his road. And listen, we don't think about it very much. We don't look at it that way. And listen, you can't just dwell there. But I'm glad, as we heard, there is comfort this morning. I know as we live through this life, but listen, no matter what happens to me, I had that MRI, whatever day that was, Tuesday's first MRI. I've been around MRIs, just never had one. And I got in that tube, man, and as soon as they got me in there, you know, they drive you in there, my shoulders about like this, I couldn't move nothing. As soon as I got in there, my nose started itching. I was like, Lord, have mercy. Hey, wasn't no way in the sun I could ever scratch my nose. So I laid there and I prayed and I thought about things and I prayed, tried to get my mind off that crazy nose, and it just kept persistently being there. And before I was over with, no, it was done. But what I'm saying this morning, you know, we never know what life's going to be like. We never know what we're going to face. But listen, we can't concentrate just on the bad, just, you know, well, this thing's over with. Listen, we're still alive. I hope you are. And God's still got something for you to do, and I believe he does. But listen, this morning, we need to look at the comfort that I see here this morning. And the thought that God brings to me here this morning, I'll share it, and then I'll preach it a little bit to you. Look with me here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 14. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according, of whom thou be aware also. This is verse 15. And for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17 says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now that's a great verse. That's comfort that I find here as I think, listen, I didn't go to bed in the jailhouse last night. I didn't go to bed last night knowing that they might cut my head off today. I went to bed pretty much, I thought, as healthy as I probably can be, I guess. I went to bed, laid my head down, and went to sleep, got up this morning, spent time with the Lord, come to church this morning. I'm telling you, I'm blessed. But here the Apostle Paul, going through the end of his life, a crippled type man, I believe, a weathered man, a man that's been so greatly abused by this world, but he's still pressing on in the things of God. Here he is closing out his life, knowing that his departure's at hand. You go back and read 2 Timothy, you see that he knows that he's ran that course, he knows time's about over with, and now he's looking back and he says, listen, no man stood with me. The coppersmith, he was evil towards me. Men have forsaken me. But one thing that he told Timothy, the Lord stood with me. And that's the thought I want you to think about a little bit this morning, that no matter what this situation might be in my life, no matter what might come today, tomorrow, next week, no matter which direction our country's going in or where the world, or even the local assembly might not be exactly where it needs to be, I can tell you this morning with excitement that the Lord will stand, the Lord is standing with me, amen? And if you're saved this morning, the Lord will stand with you. You don't have to worry about where he's at. You don't have to worry about if he's there or not. Paul said in the latter of his life, when it looked as bad as it could get, Paul said nevertheless, he said, look at it, he says here, let me read, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now that's a blessing. Let me show you an Old Testament thought of this. Take your Bibles with me. This is what led me to this thought. Look over 2 Chronicles. I like to find things, Old Testament, New Testament, and see how they tie together. It just thrills me to see how God puts things together. Now, I want you to think about this morning, on the fact that God is standing with us. The Lord has not forsaken us. And you say, I know that, preacher. Well, then we ought to live different. We ought to be motivated a little different. But Paul here again says that the Lord stood with him. Look over in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles this morning. Look with me and we're going to start in chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Can I tell you, you know this, but God's faithful. Can I tell you what God said he's going to do? He'll do it. And if God's made you a promise this morning, listen, I'm not praying that God fill my sack up with money because God knows I don't need that. I'm not praying things of this world necessarily. I mean, I pray for my family, my children, things around the home, different things, health things of that nature. But listen, when I know what I know about what God said he's going to do, I can go to sleep every night with a smile on my face knowing that God's on the throne, as I've already said so many times. Why? Because God has promised us some things. And we need to know these things. These aren't mythical things. These aren't magical things as far as something I've made up. I want you to see this in action. This is what brought that hope to Paul. That's what brought the comfort to Timothy. That's what's helping me today to realize that the Lord is standing with me. Listen, I've had to stand alone a few times in my life. When nobody else would stand, somebody needed to stand, and I tried to stand. My pastor taught me so much. We had an incident happen in our church years and years ago, busted up the church, caused people. We had our choir director. He did something that was stupid. And, my pastor wasn't going to let it lay. It needed to be dealt with. And he dealt with it in the right way, I believe. And he stood, and everybody didn't stand with him, but he stood for what the Bible says. You'll never, Brother Maynard said it. I wrote it down because I believe it, because it's so true. I see it in his life. I saw it in my life. You never go wrong going right. It ain't easy. It ain't always popular, but it's always right. And I want to tell you this morning, the easiest thing for you to do is go with the crowd. The easiest thing you do is quit living right. But listen, this morning, the Lord knows what you've been doing, where you're at, and where you're going. And you need to realize that these little things matter this morning, amen? People are seeing, people are watching. And we've let the standards down in these days. We've let this thing coast too much. Listen, it's time to get back and stand up and realize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only hope for our home. He is the only hope for America. And realize this morning that God will stand with you. You don't have to fight alone. Listen, David stood out there and he prophesied, or he went out there in that big old beast. He said, that's no battle for my God. The battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. Where are we today just to stand up and say, listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, preacher, and this bothers me. It really does. I don't think I intentionally do it. I hope I don't. If I do, I hope God will show me. And I don't think we try to intentionally do it. But we've gotten this mindset, well, just let people do what they want to. Don't rock the boat. Well, hell's real. And people die and go there every day. And if we don't tell them the truth, how will they ever know? So I'm saying this morning, we need to understand as Paul, what a comfort to know that God stood with him. And this morning, God will stand with me. Let me show you here a promise that God made to the nation of Israel. Look with me here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse number 35. We see the trend of the evil kings of the nation of Israel, Israel and Judah here. Look at verse 35. It says, "And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Hazael, the king of Israel, who did very wickedly." Now, who have we joined ourselves with? You gotta be careful who you walk with. You gotta be careful who you associate with. We're not a cult by no means. We reach out and reach out and reach out and try to reach out to people. But I can't walk in the same way as somebody else, because how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And listen, I'm not perfect by no means, but this book is. And here we see Jehoshaphat joining up with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself, verse 36, he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezron-Geber. Then Ezra, the son of Dodah of Maresheth, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaz, the Lord hath broken thy works." And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. There is a price. People don't like to talk about that. Listen, God's not, it rains on the just and the unjust. I know that. But listen, if you're saved this morning, there's still a woodshed of God, amen. And when you do wickedly, when you're doing wrong, God will. If you're not saved, God's not going to bother you about it. But if you're saved this morning, I've been to the woodshed, there is a woodshed, and God will whip his children from time to time to get us to straighten up, amen. And I believe that God will also take us out of here if we don't straighten up. So that's just where we're looking at. But here we see that Jehoshaphat made a terrible decision. He joined himself with the king of Israel. They began to plot to do something. They made their ships, and God says, "You ain't doing it." And listen, man ain't bigger than God. God says, "I'm going to break your ships," and he broke your ships. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 21. Now, Jehoshaphat did what? Slept. He died. He slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, the son of his son, reigned in his stead. So, Jehoshaphat has died. Now his son has taken over the throne. Verse number 2 says, "And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, and Zechariah, and Azariah, and Michael, and Sephatiah, and all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things and fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself." And notice what he did. "He slew all his brethren with the sword and divers also of the princes of Israel." Now, me and my brothers had some pretty good knockdown, drag-out fights. He's 3 years older than I am. I wrestled against him in high school. He was a senior. I was a freshman. He beat me every time. I don't know if I've ever beat him in a fight. We fought a lot. Just brother fight. But I never one time thought I'd kill him. Never crossed my mind to take a gun and blow his head off. I know it happens. But I still love my brother today. I'd do anything I could for my brother. He's my blood. He's my brother. But here we see a man that's been given a title, that's been given power. And now it says he strengthened himself. And what does he do? He kills all of his brothers. Can you imagine? Verse 5 says, Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the king of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So here God has just told Jehoshaphat that you're not going to do what you said you was going to do. I'm going to destroy your ships, and he did. Jehoshaphat dies. Now we see Jehoram come into play, and what does Jehoram do? He rises up, and he slaughters his family. Because he wants that rule and reign. He wants that power. And we see that he walks in the way of Ahab, and he did wickedly in the eyes, or evil in the eyes of the Lord, verse number 6. But verse number 7 is what I want you to really see this morning. And think about what we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when God told Paul there that he would stand with him. Here we have the nation of Israel in a place that the evil's everywhere. What was wrong is right, and what was right is wrong. Sort of like we are today. But look at verse number 7. It says, howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give light to him and to his sons forever. What a beautiful promise. What a thought this morning that no matter how wrong the pulpits in America might get, no matter how bad our country might run the other way from where it used to be, no matter how wicked man might get, I know this morning, as Paul said, that God has given me some things that we can stand upon. And the Lord stood by those. And here God shows himself again faithful to stand by the promises that he gave all the way back in the beginning to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all through the line of David. That a promise was made and a promise would be kept. And here, could God not have destroyed that man? Sure he could have. Could God not have wiped out that whole line? Of course he could. But God said that he'd made a promise. And because that promise had been made, because of what God was doing, what was God in the process of doing? There was a seed that was on the scene. There was a line that was running from Genesis 3, actually prior to that, because he was before that. But there was one going to be born there in a stable in Bethlehem by the name of Jesus. And God had took that lineage, and it was solid all the way through. So here we see again a great promise. Now turn back over to 2 Timothy. I want to show you this action this morning, what Paul shows us here. Verse number 17 says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. This morning, do you realize, if you're saved this morning, if you're not even saved this morning, that God is for you, as we looked last week, and this morning that God will stand with you. Hey, listen this morning. I've never had to really stand in front of a judge. I've never had to stand as a convicted murderer or whatever it might be. I've never had to stand there and stand there in front of that judge. But spiritually speaking, I want to tell you this morning that there was a day in my life that I was guilty of being a murderer. Why? Because I had crucified Christ. And I stood there before the judge, God himself. But I had a great lawyer that stood with me. I had an advocate. Who was he, preacher? Oh, money couldn't buy it. Hey, fame and fortune couldn't get it. But I had one that stood up and said, I'll take that case. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stood there on my behalf. And he stood by me, just as we see what Paul said here, that he stood with him. And he pleaded my case. That's what the Lord done here. And Paul says here, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. First of all, the thing I want you to understand this morning, we won't go back and read the verses this morning, but it said that Demas had forsaken me. He mentioned a man by the name of Alexander, the coppersmith, that he had been evil toward him. The first thing I want you to realize this morning, that man will not stand with you. God says He stood with Paul, but this morning, man will not, cannot stand with you. Man's weak. Man's not strong enough. Man's not had the ability to do. Well, preacher, I got some good friends. They'll never let me down. Wrong. But I can tell you there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's one this morning that said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And Paul this morning, as he's writing to young Timothy, as he's encouraging this young preacher, as he's talking to me this morning, as he's talking to you this morning, Paul says, hey, no matter that the Demas did leave me, no matter that Alexander was evil towards me, God was faithful and God stood by me. And friend, this morning, we need to realize this morning, quit putting your trust in man. Quit putting your trust in a fleshly being. But this morning, realize, hey, I want to be there. Hey, if there's a fight and it's right, I want to be there with you. I hope this morning that if it comes down to it, and it might. It really might. It might come to a place where we've really got to stand up and hold our place. And listen, I hope and pray that we're strong enough physically and spiritually, but more spiritually than physically, that we will stand when time comes. And listen, hey, I want to stand because there's things we're fighting for. Yeah. This prayer issue, it's not going to be long that they're not going to let you pray in public. Oh, preacher, that'll never happen. Really? You really believe that? It's going to be against the law to go hand tracts out from door to door. Sure it will. They're making us to be evil. They're making us to be the problem. But I can tell you, Paul's demonstrating the fact. He says, look, Demas. Who was Demas? Demas was a brother. Demas was a fellow laborer. Listen, I realized this morning, I've seen it happen, it'll happen more, and it'll keep happening. People you see here today, they might not be here 10 years from now. Might not be here next Sunday, I don't know. Churches are flippant today, man. People get mad at a drop of the hat, and they'll drop the hat. People come for the wrong reasons. They come looking for self and not the Lord. And Paul says, hey, listen, Demas forsook me. And listen, this morning, we need to realize, listen, I don't want to, but I know it can happen. I guard it as much as I can, but I can fall. Happens all the time. There's preachers today standing behind pulpits that are guilty. But listen, if you put your faith in a preacher and you quit because of a preacher, you wouldn't look at the right thing to begin with. Paul says, Demas forsook me. That's a given. And listen, this morning, as much as I don't want to hurt you, as much as I don't want to leave you, but listen, sometimes people leave, something happens, man will fail you. So Paul acknowledges the fact that Demas left him. The second thing that I saw there, not only is it the fact that our brothers and sisters in Christ will leave us, but he points our mind to the thought of Alexander the coppersmith. What's he? He's the world. He said that Alexander did much evil towards me. And listen, this world is against us. The world don't want us to be able to tell people about Jesus. The world don't like the truth. And listen, we need to understand that they are against us. There is an opposition. And not only did Paul mention the fact to Timothy that Alexander was against Paul, but Paul says, look, he was against me and he's against you. So that's the first thing I want you to acknowledge this morning is the fact that we can't count on man. But the thing I want you to see, and we're going to dive right into it this morning, second of all, is, but we can count on the Lord. You can't count on man, but you can count on the Lord. Amen. So let me give you some things this morning. First of all, let me give you some scripture that I love. That Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's what Paul's trying to get Timothy to see. That's what Paul's trying to get us to see. That's what the Lord wants you to understand. He says, but the Lord stood by him. And this morning, you and I can step day by day. We can get up. Hey, you ever wake up in the morning and think, how in the Lord am I going to get through today? The Lord will stand with you. So he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, 36, he says, "Is he that doeth goeth with thee." Joshua 1:5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's the one that said he'd be right here. He said he stood with him. Look over in Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to see this one. I won't have time to read all of it. Let me read several verses here. Isaiah 41. The Bible says here, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed them safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning?" Then notice, "I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he." There's a lot of I's in these verses. Look at verse number 5. "The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor and every one his brother. Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, 'It is ready for the soldering.' And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from thee, the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, 'Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." And it goes on and on. But I want to say, what a promise made to the nation of Israel. Just like we saw there in 2 Chronicles, God says, "I'm not going to destroy them. I'll walk with them. I'll be their light." And then we come to the New Testament, and Paul said, "Even here at the end of my life, I can testify to the fact that God stood with me when nobody else would stand." God stood by Paul. And friend, this morning, God will stand by you. Let me give you about four things real quick this morning that I see here. If you want to look back over, there's a perfect little outline here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me how God puts this together. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 16 again says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Verse 17 says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into this heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." This morning, I want you to think about this. I want you to hear this. I want you to melt down in the depths of your heart this morning and realize that we can stand in these days. We can find strength when there is no strength in ourselves, because the Lord said, "I'll be there. I'll stand with you. I will not forsake you." The first thing I see this morning, what a privilege to know this morning. I can testify to this fact. Listen, I might not have been the worst person in this world, but I was a sinner. I was born a sinner, and if it wasn't been without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd have died a sinner and on my way to hell. But friend, this morning I can see here that God stands with the sinner. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look here. It says he delivered them out of the mouth of the lion. Hey, I'm glad that I can say this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ will stand by you. Preacher, but I'm so wicked. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. Preacher, I did this last night. Or preacher, I did that last night. Listen, friend, this morning I can tell you that Jesus Christ will not leave you. Listen, if a man wants to get saved, a man can be saved this morning. How, preacher? By the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus Christ will stand by His word. And Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." He said, "Whosoever will, come. And friend, this morning I can tell you that God this morning, no matter what the world might say, no matter how bad the world might get, God this morning will still deliver a man out of the mouth of the lion. Hey, it happened to Paul. Paul, a religious man. Paul walking down that road doing what he thought was right, but God smote him, knocked him down on the ground, and he saw that light out of heaven, and he cried out unto God, and God saved Paul, and Paul was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Hey, friend, this morning, Paul was testifying at the time of death, and I pray if God will give me breath until I die, I'll never get over the day that the Lord Jesus Christ saved me out of that lion's mouth. Hey, I was on my way to hell. Hey, I deserved hell. I wasn't too good for hell. Hey, I understood that I was lost. I understood that I had committed a crime against God. I understood that His condemnation was upon me. But the Lord Jesus Christ stood right there in the cesspool of my life, and He picked me up out of that miry pit and set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goal. How? Because the Lord promised He would never leave me. He said, I'll stand with you. And friend, this morning you might be here and you're religious. Listen, probably the worst poison of all in the day, Brother David, is religion. People sit here and they're smug. I'm all right. I'm good. There's nothing good in me. The only good thing about me is Jesus. And I don't say that boastfully. Hey, I don't want to get over where God found me. But I don't want to lay in that pool either. He didn't leave me laying there. He stood by me. Hey, I don't know about you. I didn't get saved the first time God spoke to me. Hey, there's some people, and I say this, there's some people that I've got frustrated with in my life. There was a guy at our home church. We bent over backwards to help that knucklehead. People gave and gave and gave. And he was so sorry of a human being. And I you might think ugly of me, but I really believe he wasn't worth the powder it took to kill him. That's how useless he was. Didn't take care of his wife and his children. Wouldn't work, wouldn't provide. Just sorry. People in the church was giving him work just so he could have something to do to make money, and he wouldn't even come do it. Sorriness. And I got so frustrated with him, I finally said, you're on your own, buddy. But when I walked away from him, guess who didn't? When I got fed up and said, you're on your own, guess who didn't? The Lord was still there. And I'm so excited to know this morning He's still here. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I can tell you this morning, God says, I'll be there. Paul said, nevertheless, said, listen, man forsook me. Demas left me. The coppersmith was evil against me. But one thing I can tell you, God stood with me. And friend, this morning, listen, this church will fail you. You can write it down. Go ahead. But Pastor White will fail me. Go ahead and write that down. It's a given. This church will fail you. Write it down. It's a given. But I can tell you this morning, when we failed you, and I don't want to, God this morning in love is still standing there right beside of you, wanting to help you. Paul said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with him there. He delivered him out of that lion's mouth. The second thing I see here, look back, verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with him and strengthened me. Not only do I see God stood there in the time of delivery, oh, but friend, this morning, what a patient God we have. I used to have to teach and train new guys at work. And I don't know why. I guess my boss thought I had more patience than I thought I did. You ever been trying to tell somebody how to do something? Boy, I was challenged yesterday, Brother Tony. Me and Brother Tony did something yesterday. I thought, there's no way under the sun this is ever going to happen. I couldn't be here yesterday, and Brother Tony called me and says, preacher, says the pilot light, and pray for that stupid thing. That pilot light will not stay lit. But the heat on that side of the building was off. And I had to light that stupid thing about every service we have. And Brother Tony says, preacher, can you tell me how to light that pilot light? And I'm thinking, yeah, I can tell you. But I ain't sure you can do it. So I told Tony, we were walking through it. I was going in my mind. I was thinking, Go up the steps. Open the door. Go over here. Turn this way. Turn over here. And right there, when you're there, look up. It'll be right there. Turn to your left. There's a valve right here. You got to turn that valve and you got to light this and you got to push that and you got to hold that and you got to turn that. And he did it. I was like, wow. I was impressed. Now we laugh, but listen, I say all that to say this. I could have said, Tony, we ain't going to get this and just hang up. But God said, I'll be there and I'll strengthen you. Hey, I fall down a lot. Spiritually, I fall down a lot. And God, I mean, you look at the nation of Israel, and we Baptists are real bad about this. We like to say, well, look at that bunch of Israelites. Look how they didn't do. We're the same way. They walk a little ways with the Lord and fall down and go backwards. But God stood there the whole time. I'm saying this morning, when I would train men at work, we'd have these pendants that you move robots with. And I mean, there's a gazillion buttons on these things. And you're trying to tell this guy how to push a button and he can't even find the button. And you just want to push the button for them. But they've got to find that button themselves. And this morning, God is at work in my life, strengthening me day after day after day, even when I fall down, even when I disappoint Him, even when I make a mess out of things. He don't just throw me to the world and say, I'm done with you. He says, I'll stand there and I'll strengthen you. Oh, what a slow process. Hey, I tell God all the time, says, God, I'm pretty dumb. You're going to talk real loud. I do. God said, or Paul says here, he says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Oh, friend, this morning, we need to realize we're not alone this morning. Hey, we're still learning. We're still growing. We're still going forward. Hey, friend, get back up. Well, preacher, God can't do nothing with me. Maybe not your God, but my God can. Why? Because He'll stand right there. So I see this morning He stood there in the time of deliverance. He stands there in the strengthening. Read on there. It says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. Still takes preaching, amen. Paul says it takes preaching, might hear. And I was delivered. There it is, that deliverance out of the lion's mouth. And the Lord shall deliver me from every work. Hey, listen, we're getting out of here one day. Listen, we're not in this thing hoping to get out of here. I'm in this thing knowing I'm getting out of here. Paul said that the Lord stood with him in that initial deliverance out of the lion's mouth. He stood with him in the walk through this world. And then he said, He'll stand with me and deliver me out of this world. He says, deliver me from every evil work. And then the last of all, and will preserve me. Some of you older folks know what I'm talking about. You ever seen, we cleaned out my granny's, whatever that thing's called, root cellar, whatever type place, where she kept her canned goods. Most young people today don't know nothing about canning. There was stuff in there. I don't know how long them jars have been in there. But we opened up some peaches. And they was just as good as the day she put them in there, I believe. Them things, they were still sealed. Popped that lid off of there. And them things were good. But then, she had canned some corn. It didn't stay sealed. And I opened that jar up. I can still almost smell it right now. It was bad. What happened? Seal broke. The outside air got back inside and rotted it. But I can tell you this morning, I know who I believed in. That He's able. Able. He's going to deliver me, amen, one of these days. Look at it. Look at it. Look over back there again. He says, and the Lord delivered me from every evil work and will preserve me. This morning, I'm going to leave this pulpit, Lord willing. I'm going to go out here and shake a few hands, go eat some lunch, come back, do some work, come back tonight, preach again, hopefully. I'm going to lay my head down on my pillow after a while, close my eyes and pray and think about some things, and I'm going to drift off to sleep. And I can lay my head down. Have I got problems? Yeah, I got a lot of them. Have I got needs? Oh, yeah, I got a lot of them. But I can know with all assurity and all comfort, when man has failed me, and oh boy, have I let a lot of people down, and man has let me down a lot. Preachers have let me down. Friends have let me down. Family have let me down. I know this night when I lay my head down, if God lets me wake up, there's still an old evil world out there just eating and eating, eating up our young people, eating and eating and eating up our homes, eating and eating and destroying lives. It's there. But I can lay my head down and know that the Lord stood with Paul. And I can know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that the Lord stands with me. Well, who do you think you are? Let me tell you who I am. I'm a child of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, born into the family of God through adoption. That's who I am. Who are you? Paul said, notwithstanding, when man wouldn't stand with him, when man forsook him, when the evilness of Alexander was overcoming him, Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Can I tell you this morning, now listen to me, you might be here this morning and you're lost. I'm not making light of that. We don't sell vacuum cleaners. We're not here to get you pray a prayer and say, okay, you're in. But I want you to know this for sure this morning. Understand this. You're going to die. And when you die, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You have two choices. There's a place called heaven that God is going to prepare a place for us. There's only one way to get there. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto me but by him, or through the Father. Come to the Father but by him. There's your first choice. Your other choice is you end up in hell, soon to be cast into a lake of fire. How do you go there? Do nothing. Preacher, I just don't think God will save me. Why? He saved me. Why wouldn't he save you? God's still standing for the lost. Listen, we got family members this morning that are going to go to hell. We got loved ones that are going to go to hell. We got co-workers that are going to go to hell. God's still standing for them today. He's not cast them to the side. But one day, it'll be too late. But right now, there's still hope. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, didn't say baptism, didn't say a prayer, I'm saying this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's standing right beside you saying, will you let me? Will you let me? Will you let me? Would you let him? But us that are saved this morning, I want you to understand that God stood by you when you were lost. God's going to stand by you while you're saved. He's strengthening us. He's leading us. He's directing us. He's going to deliver us out of this world, and we're going to be with him forever. We're not going to perish. Paul said to Timothy, when man didn't stand, God stood. Friend, this morning, I can assure you of one thing. God will stand when nobody else will. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed this morning.